little girl was with her mama on a shopping trip. They pulled into a parking lot of a department store. The little girl asked her mother, "Mama, do you have some Kleenex?" And the mom said, "Well, yes, honey, but why do you want to know? You don't have a cold." The little girl said, "I know, but there might be something inside the store that I need to cry for." We learn early, don't we? Most people live their lives crying for something. They are consumed by their quest for their wants. Now, some of their wants are legitimate. Most, if we're honest, are not. But the pursuit continues nonetheless. Most people, I think, would give anything if they could escape the tyranny of constantly wanting. I think that that is one of the reasons why Psalm 23 has endured and been so popular throughout the ages. It starts with these incredible words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." David said the secret to finding the life that we have always been looking for is by knowing Yahweh Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. So let's look a little more in depth at this psalm. Yahweh Rohi, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So let me begin with a basic statement. We all need to have our needs met. Psalm 23 touches a nerve with us because it describes what all people are looking for, and that is fulfillment. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many truly satisfied people do you know? Most people think that fulfillment will come by having everything they want. And the reason that is such a frustrating pursuit is because, number one, most of us are never going to be in a position where we can get everything we want. And second, if you do get everything you want, you discover it's not enough. It's like the little boy who had a whole big stack of pancakes at his grandma's house, and his grandma asked him, "Honey, do you want some more?" And he said, "Grandma, I don't even want the ones I already ate." David says it is possible to live the satisfied life, but it does not come by moving from pasture to pasture in search of our wants. The secret to contentment is remaining close to Yahweh Rohi. It is the responsibility of the shepherd to take care of every single need of the sheep. That's what David says that God will do for us. Now, he doesn't say that he's going to meet all of our lusts, but he does say it is impossible to have a legitimate need God cannot meet if you stay in relationship to Him. That's a pretty bold statement, but that is what God is willing to stand by when He gave us this name. Call me Yahweh Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. I used to think Psalm 23 was written very early in David's life when he was a young man out in the fields herding sheep, but most scholars actually believe this psalm came late in his life. He was able to look back as a weathered saint on how God had followed him with goodness and mercy wherever he had gone. So I want us this morning to listen again as David declares the faithfulness of this shepherd. And what I think is going to be so unique is that we're going to see that God meets all of our legitimate needs by being the God that we have been studying in this series, the God whose names I sure hope you have come to love. For example, the first thing he says is, "I shall not be in want." And what David is saying is that God grants provision as Yahweh Jireh. You remember that name? The reason that David could say that God can take care of all of my wants is because God is Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides. One of the great distinctions, and listen, maybe the greatest distinction between a Christian and a pagan is in this area of provision. That's what Jesus said. You can tell who a pagan is by what he runs after. Look with me at Matthew 6. This is a familiar section, but some verses in the Bible are so powerful, you just have to read them a lot. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable than you? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, the Christian understands that his needs will not be met by pursuing his needs, but instead by running after and staying close to the shepherd. Now notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, "Your heavenly Father knows that you don't need them." He did not say, "Your heavenly Father knows you need all of them." He said, "Your heavenly Father knows what you need. You pursue him, he will provide." The promise is that God can take care of us, and the evidence that Jesus gave that God is Yahweh Jireh is that God is the God of creation, the God who has taken care of the birds throughout all of time, the God who can make such beautiful flowers grow is the God that can actually take care of you as well. Paul writes in Philippians, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's either true or it is a lie. The next time Satan tries to get you to worry, try quoting that back at him. He'll run away. Yahweh Rohi will take care of your needs. The second thing that David said that a shepherd does is that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I don't know about you, but that's something I need. We live in a restless, anxious world. Our technology grows at an ever feverish, intense pace. And I think pretty soon our military is going to come out with a jet that is so fast it can fire a missile and shoot itself down. And sometimes that's how I feel. I'm sure you might as well. You see, here's what David is saying. God grants peace as Yahweh Shalom. David said rest doesn't come from counting sheep. It comes from counting on the shepherd. Let me ask you an important question. Do you have a place in your life of stilled waters where you regularly meet with God. Let me tell you why that's important. It's important because the peace that the shepherd gives comes through communion with him. Look what Paul says in Philippians 4. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says it's a peace that you can experience, but you cannot explain. It is a peace that transcends understanding. You don't know how to dissect it. You don't know how to diagram it. You just know it came. And when does it come? It comes when you regularly go to a place of quiet waters and you pour out your heart to God. David said, I've lived a long life, and the shepherd was there when I needed peace. And then David says in Psalm 23 that he restores my soul. And the Hebrew word restores means to be placed back on a right path, to turn around and be put in the proper direction. And it's actually one of the most radical doctrines of the Bible. Maybe some of the most radical doctrines in all of our faith come from this, that God places such incredible value on the sick, the people that wander off, the people that get lost, the people that Jesus said need a physician. In fact, one of the most radical stories Jesus ever told was when he said, God is like this. God is like a shepherd that has 100 sheep and he loses one. And you know what he does? No accountant worth his salt would ever tell you to do this. But the shepherd loves his sheep, and he left the 99 and he went after that one sick, lost sheep. See, what David is saying is that God grants renewal as Yahweh Rapha. God is not the physician that makes the sick come to him. He goes out and he looks for them. I'd like you to consider some of the medicines that God has for you today for whatever you are ailing from. Psalm 103, one of my favorites. Remember, David said that he restores your soul. Listen to some of the medicines that Yahweh Rapha wants to give to your soul. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? I don't know about you, but forgiveness, healing, redemption from the pit, I'll take that. God is so good to us even when we do not deserve it. Feel soul sick, feel fatigued, feel stressed. When I think of the word restore, I can't help but think of one of David's greatest lines from one of his greatest psalms. It's when he prayed these words, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know who does that? Yahweh Rapha. And it is one of the great joys of the Christian faith that even as our bodies get older and decay, our soul can be renewed. And then David says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If there is any animal prone to wander, it is a sheep. In fact, the only animal that wanders more than sheep is people. Remember what the prophet Isaiah wrote? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. You have to break sheep of the wandering habit. For one thing, you need to do it for their own safety. When they wander, they die. You can go all over Palestine, even today, and you will not find a single pack of wild sheep. A wandering sheep is about to be a dead sheep. But that is not the only reason. David said that he guides him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, a bunch of lost, sick, pathetic sheep, you look at that and you think, well, that's a really terrible shepherd. You see, God says you've got to be holy because he is holy. We reflect him. So he guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so what David is saying, God grants guidance as Yahweh Imkadesh. Now, this is a name that we have not studied at all, but this is one of the names that God reveals to us in his word. We just don't have time to study all of the names that God gives to us of himself in his word. But this is a name that you should study. Yahweh Imkadesh literally means the Lord who makes us holy. God is going to lead us into holiness for his name's sake. Well, how does God lead you down righteous paths? A number of ways. He gave you the example of Jesus, didn't he? To show you how and where to walk. And then he gave you the scriptures that you could read every single day so that you could keep that example fresh in your mind. Then he gave you the church. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that can speak to you. They can help keep you on the right path. And if that weren't enough, he gave you his own indwelling spirit that speaks to your heart and convicts you when you take a wrong step. That voice inside you that says, you know what? You're off the track here. You better get back on the path where you belong. And then you know what else? He disciplines us. He lets us reap a harvest at times to remember and remind us we need to get back on the right path. In Palestine, the practice is if a shepherd has a little lamb that habitually wanders off, the shepherd must break the habit of that lamb for its own sake. And what he does might seem cruel to you, but it's actually kindness. He will take a rod and take a little leg of that lamb, and he will hit it with the rod so hard that it breaks its leg. And then he will take a splint, and he will tie up that leg and bandage it. And for the next several weeks, he will carry that lamb everywhere he goes. So that when that lamb's leg is finally healed and he can walk again, he has learned to be close to his shepherd. God loves you so much, he will discipline you if that is the only way to get you back on the right path. But you know what the greatest thing is that he did? The greatest thing that the shepherd did to make us righteous, the shepherd's ultimate act, was to sacrifice the very Lamb of God so that your fleece could be as white as snow. Peter writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Do you know what your greatest need is? Your greatest need was to be forgiven. And only Yahweh Rohi could meet that need. I think Psalm 23 is so precious to so many of us because of the very next verse, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, the shepherd had to get the sheep in the summertime up to the higher ground where the green pastures were, and the only way that he could do this was to lead the sheep through the ravines and the dark valleys that dot Palestine. Now, sheep, they're afraid. They're timid naturally. And they never wanted to go into those dark places, because that's where the predators are. Sheep don't have claws. Sheep don't have sharp teeth. They can't run fast. They don't like places where predators may lurk. But the shepherd would be close to the sheep and lead them through. And he would hold his rod, which was his club, that he could use to fight off a predator. And he also had a staff. And at times, the shepherd will take that staff and he, with a skittish sheep, will lay that staff on the back of that sheep so that even though it might be dark, that sheep can feel the presence of his shepherd. The greatest fear of the sheep is the greatest fear of you and me. It's the fear of death. And what David is saying is that God grants protection as Yahweh Nisi. Remember that name? The Lord is our banner. This is God's victory name. It is his battle name. Do you know why you're protected in the dark valley? I'll give you two reasons. Because he is with us in the dark valley. David says, when you go into that dark valley, God is going to be there with you. Remember what Stephen said when they were stoning him just before he died? He said, I see Jesus. But that's not the only reason that you don't have to be afraid. Not only is God with you in the valley, but you don't have to be afraid because he has gone before you through the valley. They tell a story of a missionary that was in the jungles of Brazil, and he found a tribe there that he began to preach the gospel to. This particular tribe was being ravaged by an epidemic, and they needed to get to a clinic that was many miles away in the jungle where there were inoculations to take care of this. There was medicine, there was a cure. But the problem was they had to cross a river in the jungle that the Indians would not do because they believed that evil spirits were in the river, in that water. And if you would go into the water, you would be attacked by the spirits. Well, the missionary tried to assure them that they did not need to be afraid, and he just couldn't do it. He got down and he put his feet in the water up to his ankles, but they wouldn't come. He actually stooped down and splashed water over his face and his head, but they still wouldn't come. And then he did a shocking thing. He actually dove into the river, and for many seconds he disappeared as he swam under the water. And when he reached the other side and he came up, he jumped into the air with his fists up, and all the Indians broke out in cheers because they realized he's already gone through and there's nothing that I need to fear. My friends, that's why the Lamb of God was raised from the dead. In Hebrews, the Hebrew author says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humility so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That's the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Do you notice what David says? He did not say the path goes in the valley of death. He said the path goes through the valley. When we walk under the shepherd's banner, even death can't stop our victory. We come to know Yahweh Rohi in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other compound name that we have studied that so defines the ministry of Jesus. There's no other name that he used to describe himself more than this name. Think about it. You need provision? He's the bread of life. You need shalom? He's the prince of peace. You need renewal? He's the great physician. You need righteousness? He's the Lamb of God. You need victory? He's the coming king. Everything you need is Jesus. So, notice a couple of statements with me and then a question. See, I want you to remember, the good shepherd came to redeem us. Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Do you know there's only one person that has ever lived that really chose to die? Now, some people take their lives, but they don't really choose to die because all of us are going to die. Only one person really chose it. Because there's only one person that has ever lived that didn't have to die. That was Jesus. And he didn't have to face death. He laid down his life to save his sheep. He is the good shepherd. And then the Bible says the chief shepherd. is coming to rescue us. Look what Peter says to us, 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Just as he came to redeem you from the penalty of sin, he is going to come to redeem you from the presence of sin. And so really, there's just one question this morning. He came, he's coming, but have you come to know his voice? You've probably heard stories like this. I've heard a lot. I read a story of a time right after World War I when some Turkish soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep outside on a hill in Jerusalem. When the shepherd woke up and saw what was happening, they were already down a ravine and up a hill on the other side, and there was no way he could possibly catch them. And even if he tried, he wasn't able to overpower them. They were carrying weapons. So he stood up on a ridge, and he made a peculiar call that he made every morning when he would gather his sheep to himself. And those sheep heard that sound, and they literally stopped. And they turned around and came running back to their shepherd. Because, you see, they had spent so much time with him, they knew his voice. I want to close with this thought. My suspicion is, for many of you, that you want a Savior, but you're not sure that you want a shepherd. Because a shepherd is a 24-hour-a-day relationship. And if you hang around the shepherd that much, you might not be able to go off to other pastures pursuing all of that stuff you think you want so much. But friends, you go after those other things, you go off into those other pastures, then his voice will grow quiet. You are never going to experience rest from all of your frantic wandering and wanting until you experience intimacy with Yahweh Rohi. Look what Jesus said. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. Did you know that even now the voice of the only one that can satisfy you is calling? And our problem, my dear friends, is not that God is not calling us. It's not that Jesus isn't speaking to us every day through our friends, through his word, through our own spirit in our hearts. It is that we get so busy and our lives get so cluttered and we get so caught up with the other pastures, we just can't hear the shepherd very well. You want a content and satisfied life? Then you need to learn to hear his voice. Stand up. I want to pray over you this morning. Yahweh Rohi, there are people in this room who need your guidance today. There are people sitting here who need cleansing from you. There are others who deeply need to be renewed again. God, I know because I have been with them, Lord. There are those in this room who are longing, God, for peace in their lives. Meet these needs, Yahweh Rohi. Teach us to hear your voice, to know your voice when you call, to listen to your voice, to respond to your voice. Yahweh Rohi, thank you for hearing this. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name.